This is the Social Geek Radio Network. Geeks and welcome to Social Geek Rockstars. I'm Jack Munson, your host and marketing consigliere. AI and ChatGPT for franchises. It was the most talked about session at IFA 2023. And today, Rockstar panelists Robert Mitchell of Ultra Pool Care Squad, Patty Rother of The Now Massage, and Dan Monahan of Clear Summit Group regroup to share more thoughts. All right, today's episode is brought to you by T-Source, Franchise Hire, Hughes. The panel is next after this word from our newest sponsor, Big B Coffee. Big B Coffee started with a single store in Michigan in March of 1995. 1 year later, on a handshake, Bob Fish and Michael McFaul decided to franchise the concept. Big B is on a mission to become 100% farm direct, bringing a name, a face, and a place to every cup of coffee served through the One Big Island in Space initiative. Interested in owning your own Big B Coffee? Begin building a life you love with Big B Coffee by visiting bigbfranchising.com. Joining me now are Robert Mitchell of Ultra Pool Care Squad, Patty Rother of The Now Massage, and Dan Monahan of Clear Summit Group. Thank you once again for coming back together, team. I think we had a pretty good time in Vegas at IFA 2023. Dan, I'm going to start with you. What was your take on the turnout for the session that we did on AI and ChatGPT? What was your take?
Well, it was pretty crazy, as you know, and we knew it was going to be a big turnout. We actually told the IFA we should have some pillows for the front row, you know, for floor sitters. We didn't have any floor sitters, but we had a lot of standing room only. I think we were probably breaking fire codes. People were standing in the hallway there trying to listen in and peek in. So it was pretty crazy. But the engagement was high. People were loving it and contributing. It was highly collaborative. We had some great input and feedback from the audience. So it was everything we wanted it to be.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest takeaway was I've done so many sessions either on the panel or sitting in the audience when people are talking about new technologies and people sit in the audience and nod their head and maybe take some notes. And then 10 or 15 minutes in, you just see everybody looking down at their phone. but I did not feel that with this one at all. People were wide-eyed and leaning forward in their seats and coming up to the microphones to ask us questions. And, I haven't seen that in a while. So it was very interesting to see. Patty, let's get your take on sort of the overall engagement with the session and what people were taking away from it.
Yeah. I mean, I think to your point, I was excited to see how much excitement there was around it. Even leading up to it, people were asking me and verifying which room it was in and making sure that they got there early enough. And, it was incredible to see kind of people in the hallway poking their heads out, trying to get a view. And I think what my take was is a lot of people went out of curiosity and left with their minds completely blown because they didn't realize how little they knew about what was happening in the AI world. To your point, Jack, like I saw people taking voracious notes and trying to get it all down. And I've had a lot of follow-up afterward, just asking me for help or advice, or you mentioned this thing, can you help me, walk me through it? And so a lot of people really excited and actually implementing things, which I love to see.
Yeah, I think that's really the best part of anything is what people are doing with it afterwards. You know, did people take notes and then go back to their offices and put out fires every day like they normally do? Or they actually getting involved and jumping into some of the things that the three of you were talking about on the panel. Robert, you are just prolific on LinkedIn these days, and we'll get to some of that stuff in just a few minutes. But have you noticed since that panel, more people engaging with you, you know, as sort of a thought leader in the AI space when it comes to LinkedIn and people from franchising really having conversations? Have you noticed a jump in that activity?
Oh, 100%, especially from the panel. I had lots of people reaching out, just like Dan and Patty did. Just generic questions, kind of I'm in over my head questions. Am I too late questions? I think really just what tools, where do I start? And it's really, I think it's everybody's in the same space. As Patty mentioned, gosh, last month when we were talking and prepping for the IFAs, like we're so early in this world that you can be an expert in a month, that you're not too late to the game. So I want to give that as an encouragement to every leader and every soldier and every franchise organization. It's not too late. Start now and you'll be fine. although it is moving faster. So if you were in 1988 and you were a slow adopter to the internet, no big deal. But if you're a slow adopter right now to AI, it will impact you if you don't get on board now.
Yeah, it's really like dog years, right? In the past, it took, you know, the internet 7 years to really catch on with consumers. And it took Facebook or Twitter 3 or 4 years to catch on with the typical users. And now it's like if you're 4 or 7 months behind, it feels like there's no catching up. And that's really what I sort of envisioned this podcast to be about, sort of like what our session at IFA was. Is helping people all catch up, because I think, you know, there will always be people who are way out in front of all of us on checking out new things. But there's a lot of people, the most of the people that we know, who are just trying to figure out, what do I need to focus on? What do I actually need in my life? And what is some of this other stuff that we could probably put that on the back burner and see if it's really going to be a thing a year from now. But Robert, you're right. A year from now is going to be like 7 years from now.
100%. And if you're familiar with the Moore's Law, I think that's like been thrown out. Several people in AI have said that for years, that we're way past the doubling of technology in the parameters that Moore's Law talks about. It's now a whole new law now. But yes,
yeah,
for that reason.
Something else you mentioned, Robert, that really resonates is the leaders who are in the room that day, really the leadership teams and executives from a lot of these franchise systems. A lot of times at IFA, when we talk about digital marketing things and the latest and greatest stuff, you see a lot of marketing folks. You see a lot of young marketing folks and people who are interested in, you know, something new and innovative. And you don't see a lot of CEOs. I saw a lot of CEOs in that room. And this week I spoke with people from two different franchisor organizations, both pretty sizable, who told me that their CEOs were in the room and she or he, in the other case, were both now really interested in investing some time and resources in AI because they hadn't really heard about any of this before. They were just prompted, no pun intended, to go to this session and learn about it. And there was something that one of the three of you said that really sort of sparked some more interest. So I'm really glad some of those folks came.
Can I just tell you, that is extremely encouraging, given that what I've been hearing about implementation across enterprise organizations and franchising specifically is you need a two-pronged attack. You can't do it with just the soldiers understanding the technology and being, oh, this is fun. That's level one or one prong. The other prong is getting adoption from the patient leaders. And they don't need to be in the granular. They don't need to be in the weeds, but they do need to understand how this will impact the organization and how not using it will drastically hinder their future proofing, right? And the whole idea is that the CEO C-suite needs to understand from a P&L perspective, the soldiers need to understand the implementation aspects, right?
Yeah. Dan, you've got a lot of leaders and soldiers in your organization that you work with every day. What's the the thought and the level of engagement and excitement by all of these people to get involved at this point?
Yeah, so I think there's a whole spectrum of people that are, you know, early adopters and people that are kind of, you know, maybe a little bit slower on the draw. So I've actually spent, well, you know, the last number of months since November 30th, I've been just continuing to talk about it in every conversation or modeling it where it's applicable. So in strategic planning sessions, just pulling up ChatGPT for ideation, you know, when we're speaking with coders, talking about how are you integrating APIs into GPT-3, whether we're talking to account, I mean, what Microsoft just came out with this week is crazy in terms of the integrations into Office. So I sent the segment of that as it relates to Excel to our CFO, just so that she's on the leading edge of just thinking about where this thing's going, because it's moving fast. So I think it's really important for the leader to continue to challenge the team for how are you going to implement this. At one of our businesses at WSI, the president there, she threw down the gauntlet and said, we're going to have the ChatGPT challenge. And within a week, I want everyone to bring your ideas forward in terms of how we can leverage this in the business to improve from our customers' perspective, from our franchisees' perspective, from our corporate perspective. And what's interesting, it's not just the ideas that came up, but it's the fact that everyone was forced to use it. And I think that challenge for some of them was the first time they logged into it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So
I love that idea of she came up with a challenge for all of them to bring ideas forward, not here's my idea and here's how it's going to work and do it this way. I think right. that's real leadership. So that's awesome to hear. Let's talk about Microsoft and every other player that's making a move this week. Dan, you mentioned Microsoft. Now there, I want to make sure I have this right, because I think this was just rolled out on about the 16th of this month. They're rolling out AI features into, not as a separate thing, but into the things that millions of us use every day. I think that might be the most significant part of this.
Yeah, I would encourage people to watch Satya Nadella's video launching it. I think it was the day before yesterday. And it's incredible. I mean, obviously, Microsoft made a big investment into OpenAI, so they've got, you know, a first mover advantage in some of this stuff, but it really helps you envision the future of work. It helps us understand how this is going to change the efficiency, the effectiveness, the productivity of people. And quite frankly, like there's a whole new skill set to learn to be an effective employee or an effective worker in today's world. Just like the early days, you know, when software like Microsoft Word and Excel came out, it's like if you were in the accounting department and you didn't learn how to use Excel, then you were like way behind. Everyone's got to go through a whole new learning curve to get up to speed on how this can be leveraged. But it's crazy what's possible.
Well, and I think what's interesting, I think, Robert, you alluded to this earlier, but so many companies just in the last week have jumped on this and unveiled things that are mind-blowing. So Microsoft was unveiling everything, including Copilot. They unveiled their new designer platform, which is like a competitor to Canva and a totally different experience for creating presentations and competing with some existing AI tools out there like Tome. And then Google launched their, you know, AI in their whole G Suite. And so competing with Microsoft right now, trying to figure out, you know, is it going to make people start using G Suite? Are people going to go back to Microsoft that may have left for a while because Microsoft was a little behind the curve? It's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out. I posted the video of the launch and had also posted about G Suite and just asking people like, does this change where you do business? Does this motivate you one way or another to either like go back to using Outlook and Word and PowerPoint, or do you stay in the G Suite model that I think a lot of people had migrated to in recent years? So it's really been interesting. ChatGPT-4 launched. It's been a crazy week for AI.
I will say Satyam is absolutely brilliant. I mean, talk about the one of the biggest, smartest decisions ever, investing in OpenAI. You know, the whole purpose, we knew this 2 months ago, the whole purpose was to get it into his suite of his ecosystem. And that is going to solidify anybody using Teams and 365 right now. Yeah, I ain't moving. I ain't changing. And those who are used to use it. They're coming back. I guarantee it. I honestly, I looked at both the presentations. I really, again, Google just, they dropped the ball again. They're not good at getting backed into a corner or getting pushed to make a decision or make an announcement. I think they've been, since November, they've been constantly being forced to make steps that they weren't ready to do yet. And I think that the presentation for Microsoft was just stellar, just a stellar way of visualizing how me as each department should the manufacturing, you know, example, great ways to use these tools. And I'm like, yes, this is so cool. But going back to that, all these lovely integrations, whether you love Google or love Microsoft, the key remains, how difficult will it be to retrain everybody? Like, everybody's got their workflow, and you as a manager, not C-suite, but as a manager, you got these employees like, okay, I want everybody, like you said, Dan, that like somebody has to kind of encourage and require implementation, otherwise it won't happen. It's a learning curve. That's where I think the biggest challenge is going to be, is getting people to understand and be trained on how to do it, because it's not common knowledge. It's not intuitive to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. As easy as it is for us to use, I think that's going to be where we're going to see the biggest change, but also the biggest challenge.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you just used the word stellar presentation along with Microsoft. 4 or 5 years ago, I would be like, who are you talking about? No, that's Apple, right? Yeah. That's yeah. Google.
That Speaking of Apple, where the heck is Apple?
Yeah.
What is happening? And they're traditionally the one that loves to steal everybody's ideas. I'm an Apple fanboy, so I can say this with confidence. They like to steal everybody's ideas and do it better later. Yeah. But still, where are they? They're quiet on this whole thing.
I was just going to say, it's been so interesting to see like the Alexa, the Siri, the Google Assistant, even like they completely missed the boat on this. They had decades of a head start and they are like, they've lost the AI game completely. And it's been so interesting to see like some of the spaces that could have been heads and tails above and so far ahead with some of this technology have just completely dropped the ball. And some brands that you would never freaking expect to be implementing AI and being so on top of it are coming out of the woodwork. So I think that's been the most interesting. And the thing that gets me thinking about franchise brands is the ones that implement this, the ones that actually do the work, the ones that challenge their teams to get in there and start playing around, figure out how to make this so that your teams are more efficient. You can use like their creative brains for the things that truly move the needle for your company and not just paper pushing or doing tasks. Those are the ones that are going to, you know, leap ahead of some of the competitors. And it'll be so interesting to see that play out in the franchising world.
Another person who's been very, very quiet, like suspiciously quiet, is a guy named Elon Musk. Where is he? Why is he so quiet? Is he like sitting back in his lair somewhere, you know, making his plans? Like, what is going on that he's not out in front daily just, you know, talking about this stuff?
I think it's a pride thing. I think he was an early investor and I think he's like, tag on it. Why don't I get out of that? You know, I think he might be kicking himself a little bit, honestly.
Hughes powers the networks that people and franchises everywhere depend on. Hughes enables franchises to attract and retain more customers and create consistent brand experiences across locations. And once the right network is in place, franchises can further use their existing equipment, like providing secure Wi-Fi for guests or deploying digital signage to engage customers. A secure, high-performing network can protect a franchise against data breaches and the harm they can cause the brand and business. Hughes is small enough to care, large enough to succeed. Reach out and find out how Hughes can become your networking partner. Call Carl Udler at 301-601-6427 or visit hughes.com/franchise. Too many projects, short on staff, unhappy franchisees, and information security concerns. These are just a few of the areas where T-Source can assist your brand. Technology should be an asset to help you build your franchise brand and attract more franchisees, not a burden weighing you down on IT fires and outdated systems.
Check out T-Source Tailored IT Solutions as your trusted strategic IT partner. T-Source can increase efficiencies, improve your customers' and franchisees' experiences, and modernize an aging IT infrastructure. Choose from fully managed IT services or pick and choose your management options, including fractional IT resources. Let T-Source handle your IT challenges so you can work on growing your franchise. Schedule a call today at tsourceit.com/franchises.
What else has happened in the past 3 weeks since we were all together? Patty, you mentioned GPT-4. I would assume all three of you have played around with that. So let's talk about our experiences there so far. Dan, anything shocking you or really interesting about GPT-4 so far?
So, you know, one of the most important elements of it is that it expands the number of characters in both your prompts and in, you know, the outputs that come from that. So, you know, some of the use cases we talked about at the convention presentation, like, for example, doing a book summary, you know, just doing a prompt saying, give me a book summary of Good to Great, you know, chapter by chapter, you're going to get a longer summary now than you would have before. You're going to get more detail. You have the ability to train it with more input data, right? So it can actually now, you can upload, you know, white papers and things like that. And it can, the level of analysis that it can do is pretty amazing. I think an interesting data point was that it went from receiving 10% on the uniform bar exam to 90%. So it's just crushing it on all these college entrance exams and you know, certification exams. But when you can go from 10% to 90%, I think it's really interesting to look at that trajectory. I think one of the things I found really interesting is the number of AI experts, the people that are the closest to this, that have actually missed the boat in terms of how soon this stuff was going to happen. And by the way, that's very common. If you listen to what Ray Kurzweil says, and he talks about exponential learning curves on things, often it's the people that are closest to the industry or the technology that miss it because they look at things in a linear way instead of exponential. Hmm. And so you got to be really careful when you hear an AI expert who says this won't happen, because they're all being proven wrong very quickly. So look at the trajectory, and it's explosive.
It's almost like all of the economists who we see on television and read in the newspapers constantly, who always get it wrong. And you wonder how can they get it wrong? They do this for a living every day, but maybe it's the same situation. They're too close to it, and they don't see the big picture or what, you know, some outlier is doing that may come in and change their world overnight. So anybody else have some GPT-4 thoughts?
I read the paper. Well, I shouldn't say I read it. I skimmed the paper and I kind of looked at some of the different things when they announced it. And some things jumped out at me that I thought were pretty brilliant. Specifically what Dan said, the contextual piece is much bigger. I think it, one of the videos I saw said 48 pages. Like, it can basically produce about 48 pages. And there's actually a book that was written called The Impromptu that he was given access to GPT-4 back in August. Oddly enough, it was already trained by then, but whatever. My point is a lot more output. But what I was really struck by, and everybody knows this, it won't share its data. It won't share its technical data. It's like, okay, we're closing the doors, no more sharing. And that is really disappointing. OpenAI started as a nonprofit, and then they went to profit. And now they're like, okay, gauntlets being laid everywhere. We're going to shut up. We're not going to share anything. It's really, now it's become competitive, which, whatever, that's fine. But since they didn't share it, we don't know exactly how many parameters has been trained on. So some of the experts I've been following, they say 7 trillion parameters versus 100 and something billion, right? So it's huge. Second thing that I really thought was interesting, this is really cool. I'm a little bit geeking out here, but hindsight neglect. It was a concept of hindsight neglect. So what would happen when they were training these language models with more and more data? It would get worse and worse on this one thing, this one test called, and it was, the term was hindsight neglect. Basically, it would ask a question of a person who was going to play a game. He said $900, they're going to play a game. They have a 9% chance of winning $5. And then they say, yeah, they're giving several scenarios, right? My point in this whole thing was that it learned and it was able to do a better job now. So the graph went down, and then GPT-4, which is huge parameters, it spiked up. So it basically surprised all of the engineers. They didn't know this was going to happen. It was able to make the right choice about should Michael invest in this particular scenario, given the rate of return and the percent of him getting his money back or whatever. And it was, to me, that was a brilliant little thing that happened, because it showed that we don't know what these models are going to up to. Then there, of course, there's some scary stuff that I posted on LinkedIn about, you know, we won't go into that stuff, but yeah, other things that are interesting about GPT-4, but it's absolutely brilliant. And it's so much better than 3.5. Absolutely. Patty, do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the biggest surprise to me was in the past when I was using this for some of the brands that we work with at Stay in Your Lane, you had to prompt it multiple times to really, like, here's the brand story. Here's the background on the founder. Here's the background on the leadership team. Here's our voice. Here's our personality. Here's our positioning statements. And then finally prompt it to spit out, like, I need a 90-day marketing plan or what have you. Now you literally do that all in a single prompt, and it's mind-blowing to just be able to drop it all in and get, to Dan's point, just a much larger output and better overall, right? Whereas before, you might put in a prompt to get like a really generic answer, and you'd have to really play with it and you know, really fix your prompt until you got what you needed. I feel like ChatGPT-4 has not done that yet. The other thing that nobody's mentioned is it now integrates images, which is insane. So you can literally like sketch out on a piece of paper what you want a website to look like. And it can be super simple. Like, I had my 7-year-old draw out, like, what would be a cool app? And she like drew boxes and banner. And then I labeled a couple things. You can upload that into GPT-4 and it'll literally spit out the code to create said app or website instantly. And then even to the point where I dropped it in to see what it would look like. And it was brilliant and exactly what, you know, we were imagining. So I think that is incredible. I'm interested to see, right now, it feels like so many AI tools are very, very specific, and there's like thousands of them. I mean, you could go down the rabbit hole and find an AI tool for literally anything at this point. And I'm really excited to see all of that start coming under one umbrella, where I can go to one place and I can create my marketing campaign, but I can also create the imagery for said marketing campaign. I can create the ads and the code and the target audience all under one space. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see kind of who acquires who and who gets one under what umbrella. You know, there's even a great tool, I don't know if you all have played around with it, but the compare tool in OpenAI, where you can actually pull up multiple, like the language models and compare what, you know, what does GPT say versus this versus that, and see different results at the same time. So even things like that, it's going to be really interesting to see the consolidation that's likely coming sooner rather than later, to Dan's point. I think it's imminent.
Yeah, the tools that are being built around this stuff is what I think has me most interested, because there will be some app creators, companies that have just come out of nowhere that didn't exist 6 months ago, let's face it. And they're going to make a fortune and become, you know, the next big thing, or, you know, one of the names that we talk about every day. So it will be interesting to see who does that. And Patty, I think you're onto something there, that it's going to be not just a tool creator, but someone who can pull all sorts of things in to be included together. Because I don't know that most consumers out there are going to be as interested in testing out 75 different tools as maybe the four of us are. So I think whoever can kind of pull that under one big platform, that could be probably the one that's going to.
My only objection to that, or problem I think I see with that, is that I think there's going to be like 100 of those.
Yeah.
I feel like there's, it's like the barrier to that, because all they're going to do is API here, API here.
Right.
And then it's, I just for this week, Palm which is Google's language model, just open up their API, which is, you know, I think it actually falls right between 3.5 and 4 as far as their data sets, but they do things better. And then their course is Anthropic. So like, so what happened recently or previously, everything was kind of based on OpenAI's language model, but now all these other ones are opening up their API. So now you're not stuck with one technology. You can be, of course, the pricing structure competition is going to drive down pricing of these. And it's going to be so interesting. And I think Patty's right. If you can cream to the top, maybe that's just your ability to market better and you can do everything. And I guess let's get back to our industry. If a franchisor can go to one place and be like, look, I don't want to look everywhere. You know, provide me a solution, you know. Yeah. That's what we're probably hearing ever since IFA. It's like, I don't want to, this is too much. Where do I go? And if we had a solution, yeah.
Yeah. Dan, any thoughts on consolidation and who's going to put this all together and probably market it best?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. So if you look at the way mobile has evolved as an indicator, it's kind of counterintuitive because I don't think we would have all thought the ecosystem would evolve how it has, in that we have a different app for every different kind of use. There would have been a sense that it would have all come together under one super app, but now we've got an app as a specific function in many cases. So it may evolve that way. It may evolve in the consolidated way. The one thing that is important though, is that it's going to continue to change, continue to evolve, and the speed is going to continue to accelerate. So it's important, you know, since our session, I've spoken to a good number of CEOs who came out of that session either freaked out or, you know, charged up, but I've heard them, you know, say things like, this is an arms race. And this fear, like, if I don't get to it, my competition's going to. I spoke to a guy last week, who's a CEO of a franchise company. They do about 250,000 transactions a month. But he said just one function in the business takes about 80 hours a week. And he said, by applying an AI tool, we've now got that down to minutes. So when you think about the unit economics for a franchisee or the franchisor's business, if we can find the right sweet spots to apply AI, it can really transform things. I mean, we've had hundreds of downloads of, you know, prior to the event, we put together that guidebook and at franchisegpt.com, and you can download it free. But we've had hundreds of downloads to that. But the important thing to understand is that guidebook is going to be out of date in another month. And we've already got the second edition coming with all the updated, you know, GPT-4 and how to prompt it. So it requires, you know, leaders have to think about, how am I going to tap into a flow of information that keeps me on the leading edge of this thing so I can continue to lead the business where this is going? Because the competition is, right? So that arms race concept is kind of, it's not just Microsoft and Google that are throwing down gauntlets. There's gauntlets being thrown down in each of our industries.
Yeah. So where do we go next for finding out what gauntlets we should follow? I know I pretty much spend my time on this looking at what a few of my friends, including the three of you, are sharing on LinkedIn. That's how I found out about Patty. That's how I found out about the G Suite changes, right? And Robert, I pretty much am reading your LinkedIn stream every day like a newsletter. And I think that's kind of the direction you're going with this, is you're curating all of the stuff so I don't have to go out and do that. So
keep in mind, I don't have any self-serving interests. I can't stop talking about it and I can't stop reading about it. And so it's just a mere function of just me regurgitating all this fun stuff I'm learning. So it's just, I don't have an agenda, but I will say it's fun and it's exciting to me. I've never been this excited about something in a long time. So, but I think that we're continuing to do the same thing we've been talking about since January is first things first, you got to get knowledgeable of what's out there. You got to follow the trends. You got to follow the technology. You got to see what tools are out there. You just got to be knowledgeable of it. Not all 600 or 800 or 1,000. You can't, but you start looking for things that are going to be really interesting to your business model. Second thing I think, and I've heard this from Paul Rocha, which is brilliant, your existing software solutions, your existing vendors are already doing the same thing. So work with like HubSpot. They just announced ChatHub or whatever it's called. It's a little integration. It's an alpha. You can, if you're already using HubSpot, that's the CRM that I use. And there's a way to use that tool to make your workflow better, which is brilliant. You can say how many contacts did I get in the last week that have already been contacted, whatever you want to do, and it can spit it out. It makes it much faster for talking to your C-suite or whatever. So work with your vendors and the companies you're already embedded with and see what solutions that they have to offer. So you don't have to go out and do your own thing, much like Microsoft is doing, much like Google is doing. So that's one answer right there that it presented to us on a silver platter. So if you're not able to look at the whole landscape of AI tools and figure out one that works best for your company, at least start with the companies you're already working with. Right. And then make sure your executive team is aware. If they if they weren't in that room with us and they aren't calling Dan and Patty and myself right now, then you need to start introducing this to them. Be the guy and the gal that goes up to the CEO and says, hey, do you know about this thing over here? Have you heard about it? You know, be the smart one in the organization.
I love that idea, and especially working with people you already know who are getting involved. Patty, I know you're doing some work with some different franchise groups, doing some educational sessions and things like that. What's a good way to get your group together and everyone learn together? Is it doing some in-person stuff, or are there virtual events or videos that you're sharing with your clients to help coach up the entire organization?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, the advice I would have is ask for help, because there are people in this every day that are already ahead of the game that can help, especially when you think about specific use cases, right? Like the finance team is going to use this very differently than the marketing team. And so it's not a one size fits all, and your brand has different needs as well. So, the guide that Dan did, the guide that we did, start following people on LinkedIn and social media that are talking about this all of the time. There's a ton of really great folks that maybe we like drop in the notes or something that we can add as resources of, if you just want to stay ahead of it or get like a newsletter every week or every day, because it's changing so quickly. Definitely some resources there. And then, we've started to do some lunch and learns that are just brand specific, helping people understand the general AI world, but then also talking to their teams and trying to figure out which tool, which AI resource makes the most sense for your team to start implementing. Because I think for me specifically, like, it's fun to create copy. It's fun to go down like that marketing rabbit hole and do all those things. But for me, every single day, it's really about efficiency. And I have been about efficiency for years and years and years. I've typically worked for emerging brands, don't have a massive development team that works under me. And so it has to seem like I'm 10 people when I'm really just one. So I have always used technology, and I've always used tools to set up workflows, drip emails, you name it. Automation has been key in my life for a long time. And so using AI tools for that is really what I'm doing every single day. And one of the tools that I've kept an eye on for a long time is Adept. They just raised another like $350 million for their tool. And it's not a language model. It's not anything like that. It's basically like scanning the internet to figure out how humans use computers and setting it up. So like one prompt will set out a series of events. So for me in the sales world, right? Like if I could say, here's a new lead, I just spoke to them, they're qualified, and it could just boom, 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 do all the things that I need it to do, including like put the follow-up call on my calendar for, it's going to automatically send the FDD when it sees the application come back. So much automation. That's the stuff that I'm really interested in and digging into now. Just how do I make it seem like I'm 10 people instead of just one? And then how does that use case translate to other franchisors?
And I think that competitive nature of how do I apply this to, in my case, sales, but also, finance and other areas, I think that's where we're starting to get more attention from people who maybe at first looked at this as, oh, it's a nice way to write press releases, right? Mm-hmm. It's a nice way to write, blogs or something like that. Or if I see one more poem on LinkedIn that someone wrote using ChatGPT, I'm going to unfollow them. But, but actually doing something that's going to help your sales effort you know, that's what people are looking for. So I love the fact that you're going down that road, and thank you for being another place that I look forward to on LinkedIn to find out what's new. Dan, we'll wrap it up with you. Where are we going, and what can people do to sort of get their organization moving forward in a positive direction here?
So I think, as we said in Vegas, the a year from now, ChatGPT is going to be a non-issue, right? It's the speed of growth. And so we can look at where is that going to take us? And, you know, there's a lot going on, for example, with text to speech and speech to text, right? So whether you look at whisper.ai, which is an open AI platform, or you look at 11 Labs, which does the inverse, there's going to be a lot more human integration in terms of how we use AI. So speaking to our device speaking to us, you know, as I mentioned there, real-time video rendering is starting to happen. So we're going to see real coaches, you know, doctors, psychologists, you know, formerly PhD people that we'd go to are now going to become, you know, coaches to us and mentors to us, but it's really driven by AI and it's going to become much more human. You know, it's interesting. I was saying to my wife, I did a keynote 3 or 4 years ago in Vegas for a digital marketing conference. And I had this close of my presentation, which was, I love the close because it kind of got me really emotional too, because I talked about how it was at the end of Les Mis, there's a really powerful ending to that where it really speaks to the power of redemption. And so what I said in my essence of my presentation at the end was to reassure these marketers. I said, you know, AI will do many things for us, but the human element is going to be storytelling, because AI will never be able to capture the essence of redemption, right? I actually have to pull that close out of any presentation I do, because it's not true anymore. Like, some of the storytelling and the depth of understanding the human condition that's being integrated into this AI content is incredible. Mm-hmm. So it is moving way faster than even the experts think it would or could.
Before we go, a quick word from Franchise Hire. Franchise Hire is a boutique recruiting and executive search firm on a mission to make recruiting obtainable for all franchisors and demystify the complexities of working with a recruiter. They offer simple fee structures, flexible payment schedules, and a guarantee period the client chooses. Franchise Hire specializes in crafting customized and creative approaches to share the brand story and secure talent that provides exponential value year after year. Learn more at franchisehire.com.
And thanks for listening to Social Geek. Your comeback of a lifetime starts now. This is the Social Geek Radio Network.